The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry with Joe McGill.
Can I start to Tommy? You're listening to the Saturday Supplement, and it is talking to Gaelga. And I was listening to Lana Diggan earlier with her perfect Irish blast. So I said I'd have to start off with a bit of Irish myself, and it's so important. My wife is fluent speaker. My mother is a fluent speaker. Went to Cláistíde in Dingle, and it's something now I'm going to, this year, I'm really going to go at it in a big way, is the Irish language. I make that promise every year, but I am. Like all of you, I have a bit of Irish, and when I was younger, I was better, but, you know, I don't know, it's kind of not as good as I wanted. I had a granduncle, Dennis Lynch, and his dog was a Kerry Blue Dog, and Dennis used to live in Inchicore in Dublin, and he left Valentia Island when he was very young, and he was working Dublin. Used to be a steward, actually, in Croke Park, but his dog would only understand Irish instructions. It was like Sigshius or Costimple and all this. And I don't think he understood any English, the dog. So maybe that's where I'll start with my dog, Buddy. Start talking to him in Osgailga. I hope you're well, and I hope you'll stay with me for the next 2 hours. We have a very busy programme lined up for you. Later on in the afternoon, I'll be heading over to Listowel. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm going over because my good friend and no stranger to this programme, Bernadette Nerida, she has this poetry slot here, you know, speaking of poetry, and does a fantastic job on it. But speaking of poetry, she's going to be launching her own book of poems, Beneath My Skin. And that is on at 2 p.m. In the Shanachie Writers Museum, Listowel. So I'll be heading over there, and John McGrath was the editor on that book, and he'll be there as well, and there'll be lots of other people, lots of other great writers, no doubt, as well. So really looking forward to that. That's 2 o'clock, and all are welcome. And she has, it's a fantastic publication, absolutely brilliant altogether, really, you know, I suppose, capturing what rural life meant to Bernadette and Warts and all, I should say. And it's very obvious as well, I you know, because I was reading it again this morning, the love she has for her mother in this, and there's some great poems where her mother is mentioned. So that's at 2 o'clock, and I'll be reminding you about that at the end of the programme again. If you want to get in touch with me, 066 712 3666. You can text WhatsApp 083 300 3300. Now, on the programme this morning, we will bring you recordings from school children of Tarbert National School who interviewed their grandparents, and this is not to be missed. We'll be playing these in the first hour of the program. Some wonderful, talented young children and interviewing their equally talented grandparents. It was such a lovely idea, and I tell you, it'll warm your heart to listen to them, and also how things have changed so much, and then the wonderful relationships between the grandparents and their kids as well is to behold as well. We'll be talking about the unveiling of the renovated monument at Bahucks, Carsaveen, this Sunday to commemorate the Civil War massacre that took place there, and we'll also have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom letting you know what's going on in the arts world around the county. But first, I mentioned the former workhouse at Bahucks near Carsaveen was used as a makeshift detention centre during the Civil War. In March 1923, National Army troops took out 5 Republican prisoners, shot them in the legs, and then blew them up. The victims of the shocking incident were Michael Courtney Jr., Eugene Dwyer, Daniel Shea, John Shukru, and William Reardon, all from the Waterville, Drummond and surrounding areas. Now, there will be the unveiling of the renovated monument at Bahucks, Carsaveen, tomorrow Sunday at 1 p.m. with a march up to the monument at 1:45. And the main speaker will be Dr. Tim Horgan. The organisers would like to thank everyone who helped to make this happen, ensuring that those 5 men are not forgotten. Now, as I mentioned, the 5 men were held by Free State troops at Bahucks Workhouse following their arrest for irregular activities several days earlier. In 2020, I spoke to descendants of those involved in the Bunreen ambush in Drummond during the War of Independence. Micheál Hallasy, who was a nephew of Michael Hallasy, who was held at the Bahawks workhouse around the time of the incident in 23. And I also spoke to Donny O'Shea, nephew of Dan Shea, who was one of the five.
Well, there was five of the volunteers. They were up on the hills, and there was a wake up in Corvoola, up at the top of the parish, and they thought it would be safe enough to go up there because it was like really in a cul-de-sac, you know. And when they were up there, the soldiers happened to be out that day, and they got found out that they were in the house, and they came in and they captured four of them, and they went off. But Mary Malley, who lived up at the further up the parish up in Drumnacilla, told me herself that she was the one who sat on my uncle's lap to shelter him off. Like, the light in the houses at those times would be nothing like it is today, you know, maybe candles or something. And the soldiers left without him, but they met somebody on the road that told them that they had left him behind, and they went back and captured him, and they were interned then in the workhouse down at Bahawks.
So tell us what went on in Bahawks in 1923.
Well, the five of the volunteers, they were in the Bahawks workhouse for a couple of weeks, I believe. And then one early morning, they were taken out and they were told that they were being moved to Tralee. And they were taken down the road, about less than a mile down the road, where they were shot in the legs first, and they were placed on a mine and they were blown into smithereens. And there was no court, there was no trial, there was no nothing, only just, this is what happened.
Yeah. So that was your uncle who was involved in that, Donny, and Micheál, your uncle was involved as well, and he suffered greatly after that incident.
Yeah, well, he took the anti-treaty side, as you know, it was called Cogha na Gearraid, the fight of the friends, which was a very sad part of our history, really, and much tougher than the War of Independence or the war with the Tans or anything like that, because at least people were united at that time, whereas then to think that people separated, and as we were, it's called in Irish, Cogha na Gearraid, they started this desperate, bitter fight among themselves. And my uncle, as many along and around this area, took the anti-treaty side. I'd say, you know, looking back in history, that I reckon that it was 80-20, that in this particular area it was 80% anti-treaty and 20%. But he was living up in the mountains, up in Tuath Sailín there, and a few short time before the five men were arrested, he was shot by the Free State soldiers in the thigh, and he was brought into the workhouse, and he remained there for weeks upon weeks, where they wouldn't allow a doctor to see him. And eventually, after much begging by the family, when he was in more or less in a coma and almost on the point of death, they allowed a doctor in, and who had then to amputate his leg, because obviously it was decaying. And the doctor at the time said, "Oh my God," he said, "if I dealt with this man when this happened," he said, "he wouldn't even have a lame step," you know. So it was desperately, desperately sad, sad, sad time for the, and a very hard time for his family. But he was a man that had no bitterness. I never heard him saying a nasty word about anybody. And, you know, as people who were on the other side died, you could see it. He felt it, you know, he felt desperately sad that those friends, you know, and I suppose, you know, they went through desperate times in the 30s and the 40s, and then eventually I suppose things began to improve. But I know he felt, you know, a kind of a comradeship with even people on the other side.
There's a lesson in that for today, and as we look forward to those commemorations that are coming down the road.
Yeah, well, I hope, yeah, that we have, you know, come to a stage now that we can deal with this in a kind of a non-partisan way, and that it will be dealt with. I think it will. I think we're very lucky that we have somebody like Michael D. Higgins as our president. I think he is somebody who will see the overall picture here. As he says himself, his family were completely divided between pro and anti-treaty. So he represents that compromise within himself. And I think we are so lucky to have somebody of his calibre to lead us in the next few years between this and 1923, you know, which is 2023, which will be a very difficult time for the country.
Yeah, well said there, Micheál Halasy. That was from an interview I did in 2020 where I spoke to descendants of those involved in the Bunadreen ambush in Drummond during the War of Independence. There's a monument there as well, and well done to everyone involved that were involved in erecting that. And also that they were talking there about the Bahawks massacre. Donnie Shea, who's a nephew of Dan Shea, and Micheál Halasy, like I mentioned, was speaking there. But the Bahawks unveiling is tomorrow, March 12th, 1 p.m. at Bahawks Car Sabine, and there is a march to the monument at 12:45, so be there early. And again, the main speaker will be Dr. Tim Horgan. And like I said earlier, the organisers would like to thank everyone who helped them to make this happen, ensuring that those five men are not forgotten. Now, if you want to get in touch with the programme, don't be shy. 066-712-3666. You can text WhatsApp 083-300-3300. Beg sus fro gríochta again, Anish, and we'll join you after that.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
066-712-3666. You can text the WhatsApp 083-300-3300. And if you want to get in touch about anything we're talking about this morning, there are the contact details. Now, I mentioned at the start of the programme that we were going to hear interviews from Tarbert National School children who were involved in a project that was kind of centred around Grandparents' Day. And we'll find out a bit more about that very shortly. But the gist of it is that the kids went and interviewed their grandparents, and they got some wonderful interviews that I'm going to play with you this morning. So first up, let's hear Ava Wren, who interviewed her grandparents Patricia and Mike Wren.
When were you born?
Born the 13th of March 1957,
8th of July 1955.
What did you like to do when you were a kid?
I liked to play with my dolls. I had a pram. I remember getting a pram from Santa. Loved playing with it. I liked to play cubbies. Grown-ups, I like to play. When I was young, I used to play that I was grown up.
I used to play football with the lad that was the back of the house.
What was school like?
I used to like school, and my favourite teacher was Wim Collin.
I liked school as well.
You're laughing, you know? No good.
We used to play out, and our teachers were nice, so I enjoyed school.
Right. Do you remember what some things cost?
I used to buy a bag of sweets for a penny and a half. Yeah?
And I remember I used to get a wafer, a cheese in the store, and it's just you could go in and buy just a wafer, one ice cream out of a block, a wafer, and I think it used to cost 3 pennies, I think.
Okay. Where did you grow up? Did you ever move?
I grew up in Ballinor, Tarbert, and I never moved.
And I grew up in the store, and I stayed there.
What were holidays like? What is your favourite holiday memory?
My favourite holiday memory is going back to Ballymore in the hostel trap, and my father and mother bring me a bag of chips.
Right.
My favourite memory is my cousins home from England. They used to bring it. We had no car. My grandparents had no car. So they used to come and they'd have a car. So they used to drive us kind of on day trips. Loved it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that it? That was Patricia and Mike Wren there being interviewed by their granddaughter Ava Wren in a wonderful project by Tarbert National School. And to tell us more, we have Maeve Lawley, teacher of 5th and 6th class at Tarbert National School. Maeve, you're very welcome. How are you this morning?
Thanks, Joe. I'm good. Yeah, it's nice to hear Ava talking to her grandparents there. We had good fun making the project, and it's just lovely to hear that relationship come out on air there now.
Yeah. How did it come about?
So we originally, myself and Denise and my job share partner, we wanted to do something to celebrate Grandparents' Day. It's celebrated all around the world on different days throughout the year. you know, to honour grandparents and to give grandparents the opportunity to show their love for their grandchildren, vice versa, and just to help children to become aware of the strength and guidance and information that older people can offer them. So we would have done other things over the years, like had the grandparents in or done a written project, but this particular class, my fifth and sixth class, are very good. They're very good on camera. They love to do projects, like we did a science project, and they did a video for that, you know. And with, you know, today's young people, they love to do online stuff, you know. So we're trying to encourage them not just to be consumers of content online. So we were saying, let's be creators of content. So we came up with the idea of recording them, and it's just such a lovely thing. It's something I wish I had of my own grandmother. I had a lovely relationship with her, and I can still hear my voice in her head, but I have no recording of it. So we just gave them some questions and off they went and recorded them, and it's just really lovely to hear their relationship there in the videos.
And the importance of it, like oral history, it's so important to capture that of what life was like in a particular location as well, because you know that a lot of them are talking about around the Tarbert area and what school was like, so that's so important as well. But like you mentioned, for the grandchildren themselves, they'll appreciate this a lot in a few years' time.
Absolutely. Like, it's something that they're going to treasure. And like you say there, it's such an important part of history too, to be able to have a link to the past that's, you know, not just Wikipedia, you know, Google. It's actually a primary source, you know. Like when I was in teacher training college, we had to do a thing called the Granny Project. So everybody wrote, you know, a project about their grandparents. But it wasn't a recording as such. So I think it's really nice. And like you say, it's such a good link to history. It's lovely to hear them mentioning the local place names around Kerry. And even like myself, I grew up in Dublin, but like during the summertime, I was down in West Clare, and my grandmother was, you know, killing the goose on a Sunday, and, you know, had carbolic soap. And I experienced all that directly because of her, you know. So I think that comes out strongly in the recordings too, is that link to, you know, that link to the past. And even other children in the class who had, you know, a grandmother from Leitrim, or, you know, different links to, you know, not just the history of their family, but the history of the country.
Exactly. Grandfather in Donegal as well. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes.
Where are these going to be available? Are you going to do are you going to put them anywhere, or how do you plan to do that?
Yeah, we might. We've just recently put up a Facebook page, so we may put them up there just so people can listen to them and enjoy them, yeah.
Excellent. And everyone will get to listen to them around the county and further afield this morning, which is fantastic as well. Maeve, I better get to them because there's quite a lot of them. But I just want to congratulate you and everyone involved in the school. I think it's a fantastic project, and the children, most of all, should be so proud of themselves, and also the grandparents, because well done for them as well for participating.
Absolutely.
Because it's brilliant and great. Jeez, I'd love to interview a few of them myself. I was listening to them. They're very interesting. But Maeve, thanks a million.
Thanks
now. We're going to listen to Sarah Flaherty interview her grandfather, Tommy O'Connor.
Where were you born?
The Kennedy Nursing Home.
When were you born?
The 19th of February, 1950. The 21st of February, 1950.
What was school like?
School was all right. T'was... I went to school happy enough.
Yeah. What was your favourite subject?
Maths.
How could you like maths?
Because I'd be good at him. They came easy to me.
So did you always have to do it up the top of the class? Were you the one that had to do it up the top of the class on the board?
I was, maths, yeah.
Did you go on any holidays?
No holidays at that time.
Did you ever go to like Ballybunion for a day or anything?
We'd go to Ballybunion for a day and go on the bus and come home again.
For the whole summer? Was that it for the whole summer?
The whole summer. We were winding here and jobs around the farm. It was our summer holidays.
What was your first job?
My first job was milking a cow.
Did you ever do any other jobs than milking cows?
I had to wash the floor for my mother.
What's the biggest difference between life when you were growing up and life today?
Well, today you have different... You have phones and you have different things. There was no television that time. Radio was there all right.
Yeah.
There was very little transport. Pony and trappers. We went to Messon.
You went on a horse?
Hmm?
Did you go on the back of a horse?
No, we had a trap. A trap like...
Did you have a horse?
Yeah, we had three horses.
Three?
Yeah, we had a pony and two working horses. A pony was generally for the trap. Oh. Going places.
Would they get you very far?
Hmm?
Would they get you very far before you'd have to stop?
Well, we should go to Bloody Killarney to football matches with him.
Killarney?
Yeah.
Oh, would you have to stop much?
Hmm?
Would you have to stop much?
No, they'd built a way, they'd rushed in for the Bloody Killarney and give him a bit of to home again.
Oh. What is your proudest achievement?
My proudest achievement was getting in.
But apart from that...
That was my proudest achievement to today. Okay. I know, deny that.
Tommy, I would blame you for not denying that. That is a great last answer there of your greatest achievement. And geez, the horses were great back then, weren't they? Sarah was very surprised. Wouldn't that bring a smile to your face, that interview? Sarah Flaherty talking to Tommy O'Connor. Nice and laid back Tommy is too. Great interview there. Absolutely fantastic. We're going to be hearing more of those wonderful interviews after these.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
The world is getting a little more.
Yeah, get in touch with us 066-712-3666. You can text WhatsApp 083-300-3300. We're listening to interviews that National School children did from Tarbert National School with their grandparents. Absolutely wonderful interviews. Here we're going to listen to Jessica McGinley interview her grandmother, Ursula Leslie, of the historic Leslie Estate in Tarbert.
Hello, it is Jessica and my grandmother, Ursula Leslie.
Hello, how are you?
When and where were you born?
I was born in Limerick. When and where? On the 19th of February 1932.
What were your parents' names?
My mother was Ursula O'Doherty. My father was Michael O'Doherty.
Oh. What is your best memory of your mum and dad?
Oh, the day I made my first communion, we had a great party in a hotel called the Cruises Hotel with all our family there. I had four brothers and I had several aunts and uncles.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Limerick City.
How many people are in your family?
Well, in the immediate family, I have four brothers and myself and my parents.
So seven people.
Yes, seven.
Oh, yeah. Did you have any pets growing up? What were they and what were their names?
We just had cats and they were all called Honey.
Oh. What was your family life like when you were growing up?
They were great fun. We spent a lot of time on the river. My father loved rowing and he belonged to the local rowing club. And my brothers all belonged to the local rowing club. And then in the winter, we liked rugby. And my eldest brother was a sub for Ireland.
Okay. What did you used to do for fun?
Well, we used to go swimming in the Shannon. Ooh. And then we had a small rowing boat and we'd row around. And that would be the main thing. And then we used to go a lot to the cinema because we lived in the middle of the town.
What was your first movie you saw?
The first movie I saw, yes. I don't know. I was very young when I went to the movies. But I do remember seeing Shirley Temple.
What was your house like growing up?
In what way? Well...
Limerick.
Yeah, we had... It was divided. We had a dining room, sitting room, kitchen, and bedrooms. We had five bedrooms. And then the other bit of it had dining room, sitting room, kitchen, and bathroom, and three bedrooms.
Okay. What jobs or chores did you do growing up?
I was I worked in a pharmaceutical shop.
Did you like school?
I did.
Okay, what was school like?
School was very nice. We had very nice nuns, and when school was over, we played hockey in the winter and tennis in the summer.
What was your favourite subject in school?
Well, I liked art, and I liked music. We had music after school, usually.
Who were your friends?
I had my friends from my class in school, and I also had some friends from the locality.
What did you like to do with your friends? Like on the weekend or something?
I liked to go to the cinema, and we used to go to the Savoy restaurant sometimes in the evenings, and we'd have a simple little meal.
What was your favourite food?
Chips.
Did you go on any trips, and where did you go?
Well, we used to go to the seaside. The school used to go to the seaside. And we used to go to Spanish Point, because the nuns where I went to school, they had a holiday home in Spanish Point.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, in those days, I wanted to be a pharmacist. But then I grew tired of that. When I qualified, it was disappointing. And so I went off and became a barrister.
What jobs have you had?
I was mostly a barrister.
Did you ever move?
I went to live in London. But I didn't ever move in Ireland.
What were holidays like?
Oh, they were great. We spent our holiday. There was no going abroad because the war had been on. And so we spent our time going to Kilkee, where there was a lot of swimming. And we played a thing called rackets, which was hitting a ball up against a wall between the two of us, you know.
What was your favourite holiday memory?
In Kilkee, I used to like it. And then as we were getting older, we used to go swimming and that. And then in the evening time, we used to go to a dance.
What were your birthdays like?
Very simple.
We
rarely had more than the family.
Was it like a cake, balloons?
We had cakes, yeah. My mother was a wonderful cook, and she used to make cakes and balloons. And my friends used to come in, and we'd have more or less a tea party, and we'd always have jelly and cream, which I liked.
What was your favourite birthday memory?
Well, our favourite birthday memory was my mother won a prize in the sweepstake on my birthday once.
Do you remember what some things cost?
I do. I know that five cigarettes, Woodbine cigarettes, cost 3 pence. I think that's... I do know. And a half pint bottle of Guinness cost 5 pence.
What's the biggest difference between life when you were growing up and life today?
Well, there's far more activity now, and people do a lot more, and they have motor cars.
How did you meet your husband?
I met him on the aeroplane. We were beside each other, flying from Ireland to England.
What is your proudest achievement?
Well, qualifying as a barrister.
Okay.
And also, I helped found a charity by the name of the Ireland Funds. And I was very proud of the fact that I did that.
Oh, so this, what is your favourite thing about your grandparent? My favourite thing about my grandparent is that, probably say that any time I'm probably in trouble, my grandmother is always there for me.
Good.
And what would be your recipe for happiness?
There is no recipe for happiness.
Okay.
You have to work hard for it in your own way.
Yeah, some wise words there in the end of that interview by Ursula Leslie and interviewed by Jessica McGinley. Half a pint of Guinness was only 5p. You wouldn't get it now for 5p, Ursula, I'd say. A brilliant interview again there, conducted by Jessica, and wonderful answers as well by Ursula Leslie. Now, let's listen to Ewan Kennelly interview his grandmother, Kate Kennelly.
When were you born?
1947.
Oh.
A long time ago.
Where were you born?
I was born in Limerick, and I came back home to Tarbert then.
What did you like to do when you were a kid?
I liked to skip, is it? And yeah. Read. I loved reading, always.
What was school like?
It was very different to your school. It was the old school in Tarbert.
The
very old school. And in infants you had benches where the infants sat for some of the time. And then they swapped over. And they went into the desks, and the first class went on the gallery, the benches, where you just had room to sit. And you had to do your writing work then in the desks.
Oh, so it was like all the reading work was on the benches?
Yes, you just sat on a bench. There was no back to it. It was just like a long piece of timber. And you sat on that.
And you do your reading.
And you did your tables and your spellings and your reading and all that sort of thing there. And you did your written work then in the desks.
And what was your favourite subject in school?
History and English. That's two, but anyway.
It's fine. Do you remember what some things cost?
God, so long ago. You would get 10 sweets for a penny. An old penny. And you would get a penny bar, which was, I don't know what would cost you now, I suppose it cost you 10p. And you would get, I don't know about other things, soaps or anything like that, I can't remember. Because the parents bought, the mothers bought those.
It's okay.
Don't really. I remember things in the shop being, say, Woodbines were the cheapest cigarettes you could get, and they were 10p for a long time, and the other cigarettes were maybe a shilling, which was 12 old pence.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
What was your favourite game or toy?
A doll. I had a beautiful doll with golden hair.
Do you still have
it? She came from America. No, she, the rubber in her.
Oh.
Got corroded, and she lost her stuffing. So,
Where did you grow up, and did you move ever?
I grew up in Tarbert. I went from there to Dublin, and then I came back from Dublin and moved to Ballylongford of all places.
Yeah, right here. Do you have siblings? What did you do with them growing up?
No, I was an only child, so I didn't have siblings.
And last one, what were holidays like? What was your favourite holiday memory?
We didn't really go on holidays in those days. You, if you were lucky, you went to Ballybunion for a day on a nice fine Sunday. And you'd get to go to Listowel for some things. And you'd get to go to Limerick. I was lucky because we had a shop, and my dad used to go to Limerick, and I'd get going too. But most people, no, we did all our shopping in the village.
Oh.
There was shoe shops in town. There was, at Christmas, there was a toy shop. We had Mrs. Creedon's chemist, and she had lovely gift sets at Christmas. And we had ties in Coolahan's window, and we had a Santa Claus with a clockwork head, which we thought was wonderful every Christmas. And the Finucans had ties, and Holly's had ties. And they all sold shoes. It was those three shops, the three toy shops, sold shoes during the year and sandals. And all the clothes you'd need, like for, shirts, jumpers, all those were sold in the shops that sold the toys at Christmas. You never went out much.
Also,
lots of people actually lived, when I was young, lived on top without ever leaving the village. Could you imagine that?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome, darling.
Yeah, what a lovely way to finish the interview. That was some great information about the way the you know, Christmas is. That's just amazing to have captured all that information. And that nostalgia as well. Well done there to Ewan Kennelly interviewing the wonderful Kate Kennelly. Great job there by both. We will be listening to more interviews from the Tarbert National School, who interviewed their grandparents. Hi, Joe. I'm enjoying listening to the children interview their grandparents. They're brilliant. What a wonderful idea. And that comes in from Charles. Big happy fourth birthday to Elizabeth. Enjoy your party in Sandy Feet. Love from your cousins Keen, Mark and Anna Griffin. We have a few more messages we'll get to after this break.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
066-712-3666. Martinez, take your calls. 083-300-3300 for your texts or WhatsApps. Now, we're listening to interviews that were done with grandparents of school children in Tarbert National School. It was part of Grandparents' Day, and it's a wonderful project where they captured all these wonderful memories. Now let's listen to Abby O'Brien, who interviewed her grandfather, John McGinley.
When were you born?
Born on the 26th of May 1948.
Where were you born?
Born in Donegal.
What did you like to do when you were a kid?
Like to play out in the fields.
What was school like?
School was enjoyable but strict. Teacher was very strict.
What was your favourite subject in school?
Maths. I loved maths.
Do you remember what some things cost?
I do. I remember we used to be able to buy an ice cream for 3 pence.
What was your favourite game or toy?
My favourite game would have been playing football. My favourite toy would have been a little tractor that I had.
What was your favourite food?
My favourite food would have been new potatoes mashed up with some butter and milk.
What was your first job?
My first job was working for a local farmer doing the harvest.
What was the first movie you saw?
That's a difficult one now, but I think I'm nearly sure it was Gone with the Wind. That's many years ago.
And did you have any pets growing up? What were they and what were their names?
We had a pet dog, and his name was Scott, and he was sheepdog.
And last question, what is your favourite thing being a grandparent?
I just love to spoil my grandchildren and watch them grow in Boulder.
That's what's wonderful as well about this project, is to see the relationship between the grandparents and the grandkids. See, the grandparents, you know, you can have them for an hour or two and then you can give them back, can't you? So you can always have the good times then. So it's absolutely fantastic. Another wonderful interview. And like we said, going outside the county, getting a different perspective as well is great. That's Abby O'Brien with John McGinley. Now, let's listen to Hilary Barrett interview her grandfather, Tony Enright.
Dear Royce, Ela Niva Oida Sanam Dum, Tame Ain Glean Dig Dish, Tame Mahoney Adabot Igui. So I am interviewing my granddad, Tony, in Rice. So, Tony, where were you born?
I was born in Kilmurley, Tavern.
And did you have any brothers and sisters?
I had one sister.
And what was her name?
Mary Teresa, in Rice.
What were your parents like when you were growing up?
Very strict.
Yeah.
Very strict. Nice, but strict.
Yeah, every parents are strict.
Yeah.
Then what were your grandparents' names?
My grandparents' names from my mother's side.
Your mother's side then.
Michael O'Connor and Bridget O'Connor.
And then what kind of games did you play when you were younger?
Gaelic football.
And did you like Gaelic football?
I did.
Who did you play with?
Tavern, North Kerry Miners.
Oh, lovely. And do you remember any, championships you won, or did you win anything?
Oh, we did, yeah. We won the league. Oh. And I played in 3 North Kerry Championship finals, but we were beaten to 7, sadly.
Oh, and where did you play?
Centrefield.
Midfield? Oh, yeah. So you must have been good then.
I was fast.
Yeah. Did you have to share a room when you were in the house?
No.
Oh, so you just had your own room?
That's right.
Oh, lovely. And did you what was school like?
Tough.
Tough. And what was your did you have a favourite subject?
Maths.
Oh yeah. Did you like school?
No.
No. Anything about school?
Yeah, I hated it.
Hello, about here again. I decided to ask my granddad why he didn't really like school. He said he didn't really like school because he had to walk to school and he had to walk home from school. So there it is. What chores did you have to do when you were growing up?
Prior to the electricity coming around in 1957, I had to bring 2 buckets of water from the well.
Oh, and was it difficult?
It was, but... Yeah. 150 metres.
Oh, okay.
Up against the hill.
Yeah. What were your holidays like when you were in childhood? What were your holidays like?
Never heard of holidays. There was no such thing.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Day in Ballybunion.
Oh, yeah.
Day in Killarney, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, if you were lucky. What is your favourite childhood memory?
Playing Gaelic football.
Yeah, it is a joy to play Gaelic football because it's my favourite hobby to do.
Yes.
What was your first job?
Farming.
Did you like it?
I did.
And what is one of your earliest memories when you were younger?
My earliest memories of farming.
Of farming, yeah. And did you used to help your dad?
My father bought a new tractor.
Oh, did you?
First tractor.
Oh, lovely. And what was your first profession and how did it come about?
Farming.
But
you'd call it a profession.
Yeah.
The way of life, more so than a profession.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lovely. And thank you, Tony Enright, for doing this at me.
So.
Yeah, thank you.
Very good.
Slán.
Yeah, nice bit of Irish there as well, a bit Os Gaeilge, and very professional interview there by Hilary Barrett, and very interesting and insightful answers given by Tony. It's a way of life, and it's well said. Wonderful interview, and this is part of a series of interviews that were conducted by Tarbert National School as part of Grandparents Day, and they wonderfully captured all those memories from their grandparents, and also we were talking to Maeve, their teacher, about all this, and we want to commend everyone in Tarbert National School for doing that. We still have another interview to go, just in case. Niamh Halton, if you're listening, we have your interview to go yet, but we're going to save that for after the news at 10. And still to come, we will have another interview, Niamh Halton, with her grandfather, John Lynch. And we'll also be talking to Connie Broderick and Ice. We teach a course, the Kerry College Radio Kerry Digital Journalism Podcasting and Radio course, and we will be talking to two of our students are producing a short feature piece, which will be aired on this programme next Saturday, on the story of tattooing. And this is an absolutely amazing feature they're producing, kind of about the history of the tattooing, why people get them. And there's a lot more reasons than you would think, including medicinal reasons as well for tattooing. So it's a fascinating insight. So we will be talking to them after the news at 10. And we'll also have our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom letting you know what's going on in the arts world, and Kate Kennelly will be along there, and there's lots of different events happening, and in addition to that, a lot of funding rounds are coming up as well, so you would want to stay tuned to that if you're involved in the arts world. But we will take a break for the news at 10, and I'll join you again in the next hour.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
And you're welcome along to the second hour. If you've just joined us, this is the Saturday Supplement, and I've burst the tea bag into my tea. Is there anything worse? It happened to me last week as well, and it's something that hasn't happened in years. So I'm wondering, are the tea bags getting weaker, or what is going on? Do people still use tea leaves? I was asking this during the break, and Lana Diggin has told me she knows someone that still uses tea leaves. Do you still use them? I find them a bit tough when you get to the bottom of the mug and you're trying to avoid them, if you know what I mean. But then you can tell your future, can't you, from tea leaves? I remember someone who used to do that they'd tell you their future, that you'd give them the mug and they'd tell you the future, and it was always a great future, so I don't know if that's done either. But anyway, we have a very busy programme, so I better get on with it. Keep those calls coming in. Martinez, take your calls. 066-712-3666. You can text the WhatsApp 083-300-300. Agnes gets in touch. Say, good morning, Joe. Brilliant programme. Thanks a million, Agnes. We've been listening all morning to Tarbert school children interviewed their grandparents. This was a wonderful project devised around Grandparents' Day. So we're going to listen to the final one of those now. And this is Niamh Halton interviewing her grandfather, John Lynch.
Now, where did you grow up?
Leitrim Middle, my van.
My van. What school did you go to?
Murher National School, my van.
Was it a girl or boys school?
Boys.
What was your grandparents' names?
My grandparents, which ones? My father's or my mother's?
The father's.
My father's was Nora and George.
Nora and George. And what was your mother's?
My mother's grandparents were Dan and Nora as well.
Now, what did you want to be when you were younger?
I wanted to be a guard.
Why didn't you?
Well, because I decided to go to England.
When did you meet Grandma?
I met her first in 1965. And we went different ways then. I met her again in 67.
What? When did you get married? At 22?
23.
23. 24. Are you happy you got married?
Very happy.
Mm.
I love three lovely little children.
Which one was your favourite? Do you have any advice for the young youths?
The young youth, a lot of advice. Be of good manners.
Can you name my birthday?
Your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say you were born in 28 or 9.
How old do you think I am?
12 10.
I'm turning 12 in a month.
Yeah, so 10 years ago was 2011.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And what's the exact date of my birthday?
And not a clue. You were born on a cold day, I think.
You think?
I think the weather was bad.
What hospital was I born in?
You were born in the Bronx, anyhow. Maybe Union Hospital, was it? No?
That's where our mother was born.
I know. But where could you be born?
Lawrence Hospital.
Which one, Nora?
Lawrence Hospital.
Where's that?
Yonkers.
No, in Yonkers.
Oh.
Can you name all your siblings and how many people were in your family?
Yes. From high to low, is it?
Yeah, high to low.
Danny, George, Misha.
Who?
Misha.
Never heard of him.
Irish word for me.
Misha. Oh.
Never heard of Misha. And Mary, Mikey, James, Denny, Tom, and Liam. One girl.
What was your favourite memory with your family down there?
Favourite memory was my mother's cooking.
Did you play any sports when you were younger?
Lots of it. The field above the old house. All day taking football.
When did you stop playing football?
When I hurt my knee in New York City in 1968, torn cartilage.
Were you an old man?
Yeah. What did you say? I'm still a young boy.
You're nice. What's your favourite thing about having grandkids?
Favourite thing is listening to them and looking at them.
Why would you love to be a child again?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd like to be alive 60, 70 years from now to see where technology is taking us.
If you could go to any country, where would you go?
China.
Great Wall of China.
Yes.
I'd take you there when I'm 18.
Okay. Me and you will go together.
Promise I won't push you.
I hope I'll be able though.
Of course you will. You'll be kicking a football. Did you like superheroes when you were younger?
I didn't like any of that, no.
What did you like?
I liked traditional music and sport.
And sport. What was your favourite singer?
The favourite singer, a little boy, Elvis, and Johnny Horton.
Johnny Horton, you're such a good boy.
Thank you, and goodbye.
You can see Niamh and her grandfather enjoy the crack. You know, a great interview there. Bit of banter as well over and back. Geez, John, I thought you'd never finish with how many siblings you had. There's some amount of them there. Again, a great insight and a great wrap-up to all those wonderful interviews and from the Tarbert National School. I'll echo it again, but you should be so proud of yourselves. They're wonderful interviewing. And it's not an easy thing to do, take them some of the nose to go out and interview people. Well done. And you did a fantastic job. And also interviewing your grandparents, and your grandparents as well were very generous as well, and very accommodating, and gave wonderful interviews. So well done to them, and also to everyone in Tarbert National School. And once again, thanks to Maeve Lawley, who helped put all that together and who was involved in the project. And what a great idea. That's something I would have loved to have done in school now. So again, congratulations to all, and we'll be letting you know on the Facebook page when everything's up there as well, and we'll share it with you. Now, I was talking about tea bags, and Alana is after helping me out here. She sent me on some information about tea bags. When it comes to tea leaf reading, though, there is one rule which should never be broken, and that is cutting open a tea bag in order to use the leaves. So that's what I've done there. I've burst my tea bag. This is said to give a corrupt reading and bring bad luck upon both the reader and curant, I think it says. Whether this is because it is seen to be altering a predestined pattern or simply contaminating a more authentic technique depends upon who you ask. One thing is certain, though, tea leaf reading or reading de thé is still an ongoing and popular method of fortune telling in Ireland today. So there you go. And also on, I think this is it Chocnada Gaelga's Instagram page. They have a load of images up about sayings Os Gaelga around the cup of tea, and one that stands out there, big. Brain, tea, a gut. You'll have a cup of tea. Like Alana was saying to me, you've no choice in the matter. You'll have a cup of tea. And that's often what's said, isn't it, when you come in to a house. Now, I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. Get in touch with us, 066-712-3666. You can text WhatsApp 083-300-3300. Now, I mentioned that the Kerry College Radio, Kerry Digital Journalism Podcasting Radio Course students are producing a short feature piece on the story of tattooing. So let's give you a little flavour of it first. This is an excerpt from that documentary feature.
I have my legs, my arms, my neck, behind my ears, my feet, my hand. The best way to describe my tattoos would be colourful, weird, and out there. I have cartoons, I have video games, I have graffiti, I have animals, I have script. I have a couple, alright, that have a meaning. I have the one on the back of my neck for when my mother passed away. I want to get every space I have covered. I'll go from the throat down. I won't touch my face. I promised my mother I wouldn't touch my face, so I won't touch my face.
That's Chris there, and that's an excerpt from the tattooing feature that these students are working on. I'm delighted to say we've two students from the course joining us on the line. We've Saoirse Kelly and we have Jamie O'Regan. You're both very welcome. How are you this morning?
Good, good.
Good, good, can't complain. Saoirse, we go to you first. What's the documentary about?
It's just about different perspectives on tattoos, like how they're made, the culture behind them, history, everyone's different reasonings behind getting tattoos and people's different reactions and opinions on them. Yeah, that's basically what it's about. And
what was it like to be involved in such a project?
Oh, it was very interesting and it was actually very fun.
Yeah.
Because you're making connections and making friends, and I'd say if you're interviewing a tattoo artist, you can see how laid back and casual they are about like body modifications and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. And tell us, what's your contribution to the piece? What were you involved in?
I have done two interviews. Well, I've done one interview and then I've done a piece about myself, and I've done some editing and I did some work on the phone trying to organise interviews for myself and other people as well.
Mm. And tell us about your own piece that you did on yourself.
I have almost a half sleeve, and it is a scar cover up. Mm. So it was just my perspective on why I got that, and yeah.
And that's it, because I think this is what's so interesting about this piece. It's not just people that get a tattoo because they like it. There's an amount of reasons, different reasons, isn't there, that people get tattoos?
Yeah, there's a plethora of reasons, really, and some tattoos actually have practical uses, like mine, and others are just purely artistic. Mm. So, and some people's tattoos, they'll have meaning, others won't, and some will have just tattoos from nights out in Spain that they don't really remember, so.
There's a lot of those, and then you have the laser removal then, which I think is meant to be more painful than actually getting the tattoo in the first place. Jamie O'Regan, tell us about your involvement in it. What piece have you done, or what have you contributed to?
So I managed to reach out to an old friend of mine, Lauren Moore from Ballyhaig. She's currently a tattoo artist in Madrid at the moment, so it was nice to kind of reach out to her. And then, you know, we had the opportunity to go down to Tralee as well and ask people's opinions on it, so I did manage to get a few of those as well. Good few different opinions on it also. And then just a few basic edits on them, and, you know, there's more to be done then as well.
Yeah, very good. Anything kind of unusual stand out to you in this feature that you think, geez, I didn't know that, or wow, that's interesting?
So we managed to get in contact with a company over in Ohio in America called Save My Ink Forever, which basically they can take the tattoo of a deceased one who's recently passed, and they can frame that piece of artwork that is a tattoo for someone.
That's amazing, yeah. Absolutely unreal to think that the tattoo will live on after the person has passed away. I mentioned as well, Saoirse, I suppose, the medical reasons as well. There's a few of those as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there would be. There would be, let's say, people who are balding, they'll often get kind of shadow work done through tattooing. We have a woman who talks about that. Mm. And a lot of cancer survivors will get tattoos to cover their scars. A lot of women who suffer with breast cancer will get like flowers done, or some of them will even get a nipple actually tattooed.
Yeah,
from where their nipple used to be. So
Yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, there's just so much more to this piece, which is wonderful as well. There's a real local element as well. A lot of Kerry voices involved. Saoirse, in the course overall, how are you finding it? And is it something you'd like to kind of pursue further as a career?
Yeah, it would be something that I'd like to pursue further as a career. I'm finding it very interesting. I really enjoy the editing of it. So I'd say I'd kind of dip my toes into that a little bit more.
Jamie, the same question to yourself?
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving it. Like, it's amazing to, you know, just kind of get out and get different opinions on a lot of things as well from people. And you do learn a lot. Like, at the start of this, I didn't really know much about tattoos. So I'd no intention of getting any or anything. But just the sure amount of history that you learn about from it, like we discovered about Otzi the Iceman, who's the oldest known person to have tattoos as well. I think he's about 40,000 years or something. So it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, and you don't have a tattoo at the moment?
No.
And why haven't you got one up to now?
It's just never been in my plans, really. My mother's kind of the same. She kind of raised me like that, so... But
like, I'd imagine, Jamie, like, I a lot of people I know, like, most people have tattoos. Now, it's actually gone, you know, kind of the other way, isn't it? In the line of, before it'd be a thing of rarity, and we talk about that in the piece, but they're fairly common now, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I think almost all my family members have tattoos now.
Yeah.
Even my brother, who's actually scared of needles. So it's kind of mad, you know, just kind of culture that's coming in with tattoos. Anyone will get it.
Yeah. Saoirse, did you explore the perceptions of tattooing, and have they changed over time?
Yeah, they definitely have. Like, there's one piece, and it's a woman, and she's talking about how she doesn't like tattoos. She associates them with sailors. And within a few other pieces, then you'll hear, oh, the majority of people nowadays have a tattoo compared to who doesn't. So we definitely explored all the different perspectives and opinions on them and how they have changed over time.
Yeah, very good. Jamie, final question to you in relation to the course overall. You're doing the Radio Kerry Digital Journalism Podcasting Radio course. Do you think you'll pursue a career in it in the future?
Oh, 100%. I couldn't imagine myself doing anything else now at this stage, to be quite honest with you. It's an amazing course overall. You know, you learn a lot. You'll get everything handed to you as well. You know, it's just, I'd recommend it to anyone, really.
Yeah, very good. Well, Saoirse, Kelly, Jamie O'Regan, thanks a million for coming on and telling us about this wonderful feature. It'll be on this programme next Saturday, and we're all really looking forward to it. And I know you're in the final throes of it now, doing the final edits, so we wish you all the best of luck with that. But for now, thanks a million for coming on. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Saoirse Kelly there, and Jamie O'Regan tell us all about their short feature piece. They're involved with a number of students in the Kerry College Radio Kerry Digital Journalism Podcasting Radio course, and that is going to be featured on this programme next week. I can't wait to hear it, because, like I said, it's just so much more than talking about a person that got a tattoo. It's on about the history of tattooing. It goes around to a few tattooing parlour shops, places here in Kerry, and it also talks to people that got them for, you know, people that, you know, work in the medicinal side of things, and it's so informative, and it talks about taboos around tattoos and so much more. So definitely very much looking forward to that. Lots of messages to get to, but we will take a break and we'll have more after these. That's what you're listening to, and I hope you're enjoying the programme so far. Martinez, take your calls on 066 712 3666. You can text WhatsApp 083 300 3300, and I'm messing around here because I'm trying to get a piece of information for you, and I have it now, so that's alright, because I want to tell you about something that's coming up. Hi Joe, will you say a big thanks to all the people who came out to Cúnamh Vera Boston Tea Party last night? A fantastic night was had, and thanks to the Party Coffee Band, and hello to everyone there in Cúnamh Vera. I hope you're all well. Also, this is just brilliant, should be made into a tape and sold to everyone. She's a great interviewer, and that's in relation to the Tarbert School Children children interviewing their grandparents, and a few more messages here as well praising the children. And this is in relation to the tea bags. Listener says her friend refuses to use tea bags, tea only loose. So there are definitely people who make tea without using tea bags. Also, she says she's really enjoyed the program today with the kids. Thanks a million for that. What a wonderful project by these children. Such an enjoyable listen. So informative. Really loving it. Well done to Maeve Lawley and your job share partner. A beautiful presentation. And that comes in from Mary. Well said, Mary. The last interview with John Lynch was hilarious, someone says. Hi, Joe. There's a thing for making tea with tea leaves, which you can get in homeware stores. It's like a metal egg with lots of tiny straining holes and a handle. It keeps the tea leaves together so that you don't accidentally sip them at the end of a cuppa. Enjoy the show with Dan McSweeney, Castle Island. There you go. So that's how you do it. But how do you read your tea leaves then, Dan? Do you have to open the ball and then spill them back in? That reminds me, actually, because I brew beer, as a lot of you might know, and we actually use a hop strainer, so it's a similar idea, and hops are used to preserve beer, so you'd use them in the boiling side of brewing beer, and it's the same principle. You'd put them in like a tea bag, and you'd leave them, absorb them, or you can throw them in loose, but they're a nightmare after to clean. That just reminded me of that. Thanks a million for that, Dan. Now, let me remind you of the Ballydunahoo Bardic Festival, which runs from Thursday, March 23rd to Sunday 26th. A launch and prize giving on Friday at Tamashine's function room at 8 p.m. Literary workshops all full on Saturday. Music masterclasses, a few spaces available. Grand Cayley on Saturday night at Tamashine's function room and with Donny Nolan. Festival wraps up on Sunday morning with Kind Tuggers Coraw and open mic session. That is the Ballydunahoo Bardic Festival. What an absolutely wonderful event that is. So make sure to go along and support it. It's one for the calendar in North Kerry. I've often gone to it and I've had absolutely a fantastic time at it. And just a recognition as we head into all, really get going into all these events and festivals that will be taking place now, a word to the organisers, because they put in a lot of work behind the scenes, and it doesn't just happen on the weekend. It takes place all throughout the year, so well done to everyone involved and volunteers and everyone that helps out throughout the year and all our wonderful events and festivals that are run through the year. And we will be talking about them more in our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, which is coming up after this break.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.
Now, so it is the second Saturday of the month, so it's time for our Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom. And as always, we're joined by Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, Kate Kennelly. Kate, how are you doing this morning?
Very well. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. So tell us, another busy month ahead, I'd imagine.
Very busy, Joe. And I said we haven't time to look back now today. We have so much coming up. So we're just going to plough into it, really. We have a lot happening with our Creative Ireland programme. And we've the very talented Rebecca Wall here, who's going to talk us through a project she's involved in. And also our Arts Council and Kerry County Council co-funded arts programme is well underway. And the fantastic Maura Holmes as well is joining us, who is back as her tenure for writer in residence. And she's going to talk us through what she's doing. And as I said, in the office then, my team are great ploughing through work all together. And I have a fantastic page to call out, but I'll try not to be boring reading it. There's a lot happening, Joe, and everyone needs to know what's going on, really, because there's so much there and we want everyone to get involved as much as they can.
Yeah, and this is the place you'll get all that information once a month here, second Saturday of the month. Now, let's go to Rebecca Wall to talk about, Rebecca, your Reimagine exhibition. What's this all about?
Good morning, Joe. So this is an exhibition to do with photography, and it's looking at finding people's real Tralee. So I'm not looking for the images that are the typical images that we see up, which are absolutely gorgeous, and seeing Tralee in all her glory. This is actually looking at the grit of Tralee, what people love about Tralee, when I talk about Shirley, I often compare her. I use the analogy her, because I think she's very much of a feminine entity. But I look at Shirley as the working class town. It's the place where people really, really work from the ground up. She welcomes people home every time life lets them down. And she's very much a mother figure, I would describe Tralee Town. So I'm looking for people to show me their Tralee, the Tralee that is not romanticized in images, whether that's the early morning light in your kitchen, or in one case, one submission that we've gotten is from Alison Slattery, and it shows two girls walking on a beach very early in the morning, having been at what looks like a Debs, and are making the long stroll home and are in ball gowns and are wet up to their knees with water, obviously have gone for a paddle, discussing the events from the night before. That's the real Shirley. That's the side we don't see with roses and balls and what Shirley is known for. So I want people to send in images to maddensshirley@gmail.com about what they're looking, I suppose, what they're looking at every day that people don't get to see. And that might be a place, it could be a person, it could be a nook in the town that often doesn't go noticed. It could be basically what you think Tralee sums up as a place, and not something that we typically see on a postcard. And there's all those lovable entities within Tralee, and we'd often refer to them as nearly Traleejits, as a friend of mine has coined it. They're little idiosyncrasies about the town that we often don't realise or goes unnoticed. We think everybody sees it, but in actual fact they don't. So we're going to create an exhibition, obviously in conjunction with Creative Ireland, Kerry County Council, asking people to submit those images, what those are to them, and then we'll have an exhibition at that and showcase what we believe is, I suppose, truly reimagined.
Yeah, so anyone can contribute to this, which is brilliant. We have a monthly photography slot here with Dominic Walsh on the programme, and we have some wonderful amateur photographers that send us in photos, so there should be no shortage now of people doing this. One in particular, Moss Joe Brown, he takes a lot of daily life photos, you know, where we might get a lot of landscape photos, but his ones are very interesting because, like you said there, they tell a story.
Absolutely. And that's what we want. We want that narrative. We want somebody to look at that and go, I wonder what the two of them are chatting about. Like, we have, as part of Maddens, we have Truly My Love. And people send us images all the time of snippets of Tralee. And one in particular always jumps out to me. It was one of our first images we put up. And it's a guy actually painting the side of a building. And he's looking down through the town. And he's looking at something with a confused look in his face and still holding a paintbrush. And every time I look at that, I wonder, what is he looking at? It's just a fantastic photo. So it's that sort of imagery that we're looking for. Something where you go, I wonder what's going on in that. And there could be a thousand scenarios.
Very good. So once again, where do people send it and when will the exhibition be?
So maddensshirley@gmail.com if you want to send any of your entries. We're welcoming everybody from all walks, shapes, backgrounds. You don't have to be a Tralee native. You could be somebody who's recently moved to the area. There is no age limit. You could be as young as or as old as you want. We're not looking for professional photographers. Those are welcome, obviously, as well. But anybody who wants to show Tralee through their eyes at maddensshirley@gmail.com. So we are hoping that we will have all entries in the next 3 weeks. We obviously launched it last Thursday. You'll have see information on social media via Instagram, Tralee Today, etc. Obviously on the Tralee My Love website as well. So you can put in entries to maddens@tralee@gmail.com, and then we will have an exhibition in the middle of Easter.
Very good. Rebecca, yeah, Kate, you want to come in there a second?
Yeah, and it's a fantastic project, Rebecca. And Sean Mulchnock, who was working with us last year on the Creative Ireland projects, was very involved, I think, Rebecca, when you were starting it off and helping out. And I have to just say, my mother's from Tralee, if that's any good. And we've lovely photos, I must say, of her growing up. And over the years, like, Banna was such a big part of the life of her life, and certainly where she grew up, which was the old jail, and we won't go into that at the moment. But, and there was nothing sinister, but and also the dances. So, you know, I think this really, when Rebecca put this project proposal forward,
I just thought, what a beautiful project to capture, as Rebecca said, the daily life and what makes Tralee important to the people of Tralee, what they love about their home. And Rebecca is great at pulling exhibitions together, so I'm really excited to see what comes out of this. And it is sponsored through Creative Ireland, so we're very excited to see what happens, Rebecca. So well done you.
Well, Rebecca Wall, thanks a million for coming on and telling us all about it, and like Kate said, best of luck with it.
Thank you.
And now, like Kate mentioned, we have some wonderful artists in residence in this county, and I'm delighted to say now we're going to be talking to the writer in residence, Maura Holmes. Maura, how are things? Long time no chat. How are you getting on?
Very well, and it's lovely to talk to you today and to Kate. It's been a long time now since I've been with Kerry. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm looking forward to it so much, because the writers will have produced an enormous amount of poetry or short stories, or have finished a project, or have begun a new one. And I've only just returned to Kerry in the sense of communication since yesterday, and already there's a great fault. And there was talk of Tralee there, but the fault of all of Kerry is astounding.
That's the job. So what have you got planned? I know you're only here a day, but we'll get you going. What's going on?
Yeah, well, this year, there are two announcements I want to make. But this year is I will be spending more time in Kerry. And this is the one essential difference. It will be 50-50 in that I will live in Kerry for a considerable duration, 50% of the residency. So I will be meeting one-to-one as well as groups. But what I'm planning in a way, because remember now there was a little 2 or 3 years of COVID, so it's really meeting again. I'm hoping to do one-to-ones in as many libraries as possible around Kerry. And then there is that facility for one-to-one for the poets, for the writers, for any journal, well, anyone who wants to talk about creative writing or get some advice. And also, of course, there'll be the groups. I've been talking to Castle Island already, and then I hope to return to Kenmare and to Tralee, to Loughlin, Killarney, on the group level.
Very good. Excellent. So, like you said, I suppose the difference as well now, like you mentioned, COVID was a tough time, but I suppose it gave you the opportunity maybe to do a lot of Zooms with people and meet them that way. But this meeting, pressing the flesh again, is absolutely wonderful, I'd imagine. And that groups can gather together in person as well.
Yeah, it's a huge difference. And let me just thank the Arts Office. During COVID and during those years, it was an enormous help from the Arts Office in how everything was, we'd say, coordinated and so efficiently changed over to a technological era. So now I'm returning into the human element of it, and equally I've already heard from the Arts Office, who are constantly and helpful. Caroline, Kate, of course, Caroline Morrell, Sean, all of them have been an immense help, and we all work together. And in the same way, the writers work with the writer in residence. It's stimulating. It's encouraging. It has creative production when people work together.
Can I just ask, Maura, like, you would see, I think, a very high level of per capita, high number really of writers or emerging writers, wouldn't you, in the county? Like, I certainly see, in terms of demand for your time and the queries we get through to the office, so many people want to work with you. It gladdens my heart, because I think the future of literature and creative writing in Kerry is in very safe hands and alive and kicking. Is that accurate?
That's a lovely thing to say, Kate. I think the future of Kerry writer, include Kerry writers, particularly in the junior schools, is more than secure. Now, only yesterday, I was reading a lot of poetry from the Kerry junior schools. Yes, I think that for any writer in residence that comes in that symbolic way, they walk with the writers in Kerry, and it's well established. The literary DNA of the Kunde is absolutely developing. Now, there is a change for everybody, but particularly the under 20s, where there is less use of the short story. It's become shorter due to the digital age and thinking. So we say anybody over a certain age has to adjust to something new that is happening in literature. If we look back, this has always happened in literature. It just happens now to be a digital era. And Kerry is as much with the international posse as any other county in Ireland. To answer the question in a way, yes, definitely literature is secure in Kerry. There's a new generation that has a new way of not just expressing, but material to express that. So we can expect the lakes to be illuminated in a different verbal way over the coming decades.
The high key will be making a big comeback, so Maura, I'd say.
Yes.
So, and just before we leave you go, Maura, how can people get in touch with you?
Yes, two ways getting in touch with me, Joe. There's the Kerry Writer in Res 20 at gmail.com. And that will reach me directly, and I'll deal with all administration that comes in that way. The other way is through my landline in my home, and that number is available from the Arts Office in Tralee. So back in action, we'll be spending and living in Kerry, and greatly look forward to it.
Maura, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You have a wonderful way with words, and I can see how you'd inspire many of the creative people in this county. It's great to see you, because we're doing it over Zoom, and it's great to chat to you again, and we wish you the best of luck, and don't be a stranger to the programme during the year. Now we'll go to break, and after that, Kay Kennelly has a lot of information to tell you about what's going on in the arts world in the county.
The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
Now, this is Kerry County Council Creative Kingdom, and we've Kate Kennelly, Arts Officer with Kerry County Council, still with us. And Kate, you've a big list of things you have to tell people about around the county. Let us know what's going on.
I do, and this was put together now by Morel Murphy in the office, and with help from Caroline Inchcourse as well, and Hannah. Cronúna Nóg, Joe, is June the 11th, and we have public consultation underway, and a lot of public consultation back in. So from the consultation that came back in, we're seeking proposals for events on Cronú. So we're asking creative people, artists and other creatives, to send us in ideas of what they would like to do for Cronúna Nóg. So children and young people in Kerry so far have said they want to see a mix of in-person and online events, which is interesting. And I suppose, Joe, it makes sense, because not everyone can be brought somewhere on a Saturday morning or a Saturday evening. And it's 11 to 4 is the kind of official Cronú window. In terms of what they like making, people want to see drawing, painting, pottery and photography workshops. I could be getting on to Dominic as well, or he might be getting on to us. These were the highest scoring. And in the doing category, people were looking for dancing, singing, acting and playing an instrument. These were the most popular. And in terms of going to, which is another category, they want concerts, films, plays and storytelling. So we're hoping to have a lot of that, Joe, in various locations around the county. Now, application forms are available from the Cronúna Nóg section on our website, which is arts.kerrycoco.ie. And the closing date for receipt of applications is 5 p.m. on Tuesday, the 28th of March. Nationally, we're tasked with having all finalised details up on the national portal, which is the National Creative Ireland website, by the 28th of April. So that gives us a month to tie things down.
We had a Creative Communities grant scheme advertised, as you know, and the deadline is gone. We had a great level of application, Joe, just under 40 applications, 39, so they're all being looked at, and we hope to let people know what they'll be getting towards the end of this month. Our strategy had a national launch 2 weeks ago, and we'll be doing a local launch shortly, and following that, it will then be available, the Creative Ireland Kerry strategy for 23 to 27 on our website, again, arts.kerrycoco.ie, and in the libraries as well. And I'd like to thank the library service, and I know they were mentioned there by Maura Holmes, but Tommy O'Connor is great, and the librarians are always so accommodating for arts and cultural activity. In terms of mentoring, thanks to Creative Ireland in partnership with the Kerry Local Enterprise Office led by Tomás Hayes, and we have great support there in the office and in the Leo office, as we call it. We're doing free online mentoring for craft people and the creative industries, and Maeve Ring is leading that, and there's still some slots available, Joe, on Wednesday the 15th, the 22nd and the 29th, so people can email us at arts@kerrycoco.ie for an expression of interest form, and we'll try and book them in. So this is free one-to-one mentoring about how to advance your career in the creative sector, and again, that's, we're delighted with the Leo office, but it's part of our Creative Ireland delivery for the year. Our ArtsAct grants and bursaries were already advertised, and again, we're hoping to notify people in the next few weeks. The residencies, Mika has started back on her 2023 residency. Marcel O'Connor, who did our second film residency last year, is just finishing up and has done amazing work. Catherine Young is back and has started working on the Kaylee Afrodabka Ukraine. And this is a free Kaylee for all ages, featuring live music, African dance, Ukrainian folk dance, Palestinian Syrian dabka, and traditional Irish Kaylee. And there's going to be a lovely showcase and a Kaylee, basically, where everyone can get up and dance on Thursday the 16th of March at Mercy Mount Talk, Tralee. And I'd like to thank the school for accommodating us again, because we need a big venue for loads of people dancing, Joe, and it's on from 7:30 to 9:30, and it's free. And that's all funded through the Ukrainian support funds that are available. And we've had great workshops. They're all happening at the moment. So Catherine and her team are going out to the centres where the refugees and asylum seekers are, and people are coming together and dancing and singing. And Joe, the feedback is really heartwarming, and it's so important to bring some joy to people's lives, because this is a very difficult time, as you know, for so many people. Our short film bursary is advertised this week, so today's Saturday, it'll be in the papers, and the submission date is Friday the 14th of April, Joe, at 5 p.m. So the Kerry Short Film Bursary will be open for applications this week, and it's €10,000. It will be awarded to a successful team. Now, Joe, in terms of applying, either the writer, the director or the producer must be from or living in Kerry. And the funding is to help produce a short drama or documentary film in the county, and it's co-funded by the Arts Council and Kerry County Council, and it's fully supported, of course, by Screen Kerry, which is led by Siobhan O'Sullivan. And we'll have all the details on our arts website as well. The Ballydunahoo Bardic Festival is taking place from the 23rd to the 25th of March, and if you go to their website, ballybardfest.com, you get the full programme, and they do a great festival, as you know. And again, just well done to all the festival organisers, Joe. There's so many of them, as you know, and without them, where would we be? So the Kerry International Film Festival is seeking submissions at the moment. So if you go to kerryfilmfestival.com, all the details are there. K-Fest are seeking submissions at the moment for their art exhibition and performers to take place, performances, I should say, from the 2nd to the 5th of June. Go to their Facebook page for the submission form. Nationally, the Arts Council have advertised Culture Night Late funding, and that's available from Tuesday. And the fund is designed to support events after 9 p.m. that will continue late into the night on Friday the 22nd of September, Joe. Would you believe we're talking about it already?
Yeah, whoa. Kate, how many things are going on there? That's amazing. And you still not finished that, Sarah?
I've just two things left if we've time. I know. Sure, listen, this is it. But the Culture Night Late, I'd encourage people to apply. There's money there, and we want loads happening in Kerry. So Creative Ireland then are seeking applications for their Traveller Wellbeing Through Creativity Scheme. The scheme is advertised, and it's there to support projects by groups and organisations that have a positive impact on health health and well-being of the traveller community, and grants are from 30 to 50,000, Joe, and that's all available on the Creative Ireland website, and the closing date is the 31st of March, and go to creativeireland.gov.ie. And just to mention then, with the Tralee St. Patrick's Day Parade, there is a lovely theme this year. It's Cúpla Focal, in honour of the Irish language, and the parade will showcase words and phrases as Gaeilge, and again through Creative Ireland we're supporting some of the creative I suppose prep work and showcasing that'll be on the day. So that'll be a lovely event, and it'll be starting at 12 noon on the John Joe Sheehy Road, and of course there'll be parades elsewhere in the county, so we'll have a great month, Joe, and it's only March.
Yeah, exactly, and we want to wish everyone well this Friday coming with all your wonderful parades and all the work that goes into them, and a lot of artistic expression will be on display at those parades throughout the county, so we want to wish them all the best. Kate, thanks a million, as usual. We got a lot in there, and it just shows the amount of work that goes on in your office and the amount of things that do take place around this county. It's wonderful to hear. So thanks a million again, Kate.
Thanks, Joe, and lovely to see you. And just to say thanks to your listeners as well. After our slot last month, I was stopped by someone when I was out grocery shopping to say they really enjoyed it. So nice to hear, and thanks a million.
Very good. You'll have paparazzi after you shortly with all the attention. I just want to as well remind people that after this programme, I'm off over to Listowel, where the launch of the book Beneath My Skin, Bernadette Nereida, who does our Speaking of Poetry slot here once a month, that's on at 2 p.m. in the Shanachie Writers Museum, Listowel. So we hope to see ye there. That's all we have time for this morning. My thanks to Abigail Bernard, who was on sound. Francis is on the way, so keep it here on Radio Kerry, and enjoy your Patrick's Day next Friday, and I'll be talking to you Saturday after that.
The Saturday Supplement with Joe McGill on Radio Kerry.
The Saturday Supplement on Radio Kerry. Brought to you in association with Sean Lynch and John O'Rahilly, Hogan's Funeral Home, Tralee.